Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask you, please, as your servants, as your children, as one you call friend, that you would lead and guide us into all truth and show us the plan that you have for our lives. We are here, God, for one purpose and one purpose only, to hear your voice, God. We thank you so much for fellowship and the fun that we have in our laughing and our joyful hearts. God, but more than anything else, we need from you the answer to the questions that our life has not yet been able to answer. Please, today, may you speak a word of wisdom, a word of prophesy over your people. God, your word says, sing over your bride. We're not ashamed to admit you are our husband. Sing over us today, God. In Christ's name, amen. Very interesting Bible study today. We're going to run through the scripture, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you guys a bunch of commentary on it. But I do ask you to buckle up. Today might be a little bit more than you planned on chewing on. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, speaking of our Lord Jesus, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Please again, give me your attention. Remember what I said last week, and I want you to keep this in mind forever. When you're reading scripture, look at the Pharisees, look at the Sadducees, look at the religious leaders of the time. If they were offended by something, if they were upset about something, if they in some way, shape, or form were like, what? God, if they were offended and we didn't get it, there's got to be something more there than we saw. In Christ's day, to say that God was your Father was calling yourself God, it was punishable by death, according to the Torah, to call yourself God. Do you understand? So that's why they sought to kill him. That's why they were so offended. That's why there was this crazy thing. And as I said last week, if you weren't here, people will say that the Lord Jesus never claimed to be God. All through the book of John, he, no question, no doubt about it. You have certain faiths that call themselves Christian faiths, such as Mormonism, such as Jehovah's Witnesses, that say he was not God, but he was a God. He never claimed to be God. Yes, he absolutely, positively did. He was not just the Son of God. He was God the Son. Here proclaiming it, that's what offended them so much. Now, they were so offended at it, they wanted to know, how dare you say this? And then he goes into this 30-plus verse dissertation that ends in one singular place. Stay with me. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. The first thing he establishes, guys, that none of the things that he's doing did not come from Father, which, if you'll notice, you guys remember the only time that he didn't refer to God as his Father, does anybody remember that was? On the cross, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Other than that, he, at every single time, referred to God as his Father, making himself equal with God. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. Now imagine being a religious person and listening to what he's saying here. He's basically telling them, just like God raised the dead in the Old Testament, so I'll raise the dead here. He's saying things to them that are pretty scary. I mean, if somebody came and started saying these things, you'd think they were off their chump or they were God. That's the only two options. You're either nuts or you're God. It's period. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now he says he's the judger of sins. The Jews knew there was only one who judged sins, and who is that? God. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Circle that word, please, or highlight it, or whatever it is that you do to write in your Bible. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who, circle it again, sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. This is pretty crazy, guys. He says to them, not only am I the Son of God, I'm also God. And then he says to them, I'm going to raise the dead. I'm going to judge sin. And then he says something crazy. He goes, listen, there's a time coming where my very words will make everybody who's dead in the ground come to life. Our Lord Jesus didn't soft soap. He didn't play games with these people. He wasn't trying to insinuate anything. Our Lord never insinuated. If you are one of those people, and this coming holiday, you're going to meet with family and friends, and you're wondering how to soften the blow because you want to pray, and you want them to pray, but gee willikers, you don't want to offend anybody. The Lord Jesus didn't have that problem. What he says to them right now, if you've ever been in a fight, and you say to somebody, if you do that again, I'm going to punch you right in the face. And they do it again, and again, and again, and you still don't punch them. So they do it again. Like I do with my wife, she says that to me. If you say that to me again, I'm going to punch you right in the face. You're not going to punch me. I'm going to punch you right in the face. This is what he did. You understand? I'm going to kill you because you make yourself to be Son of God. Well, not only do I make myself to be Son of God, but let me tell you some of the things that I'm going to do. You see this happening, guys? Now, why is this important? Please, I'm leading to one place. Stay with me as we continue. Verse 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself and has given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is huge. He's saying everybody will live twice, but some people are going to die twice. It's an old saying. I love it. If you're born once, you die twice. If you're born twice, you only die once. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who... Circle the word for sent again. He says, I am not doing these things. God is telling me what to do right in my ear, and that's what I'm doing. The Father has sent me. Continuing, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, I've got to caveat that a little bit. The phraseology in the Greek, it's actually Aramaic, doesn't read as it sounds. He says, if I bear witness of myself, and the implication in the language is, you will say to me, my witness is not true. Because of course the Lord Jesus' witness is true, but this is what he was telling them. This is what's called the fourfold witness. Anybody ever hear that phrase, the fourfold witness? And the fourfold witness we're about to see is the Father, the works, the Son of Man himself, and John the Baptist. That's the fourfold witness. When you hear that, this is what he's referring to. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Who's he speaking of? John the Baptist. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has... Are you starting to see a pattern? The Lord Jesus was obsessed, and I use that word in all respect, in all reverence. But our Lord Jesus had an obsession. His obsession was relaying to you, relaying to us, relaying to them, that he did not come and do what he wanted to do. I'm going to explain that application in a few minutes to you. And the Father himself who... It's getting a little ridiculous, isn't it? Has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he... Okay, now it's silly. Him you do not believe. You search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. He says to them, you know, it's not enough to read the Bible. Do you know there are people that know the Bible way better than I ever will, way better than you ever will? Do you know what that has done for them? Nothing without the Father. This is not about whether you pray. This is not about whether you read the Bible. This is a relationship. You cannot fool God even when you fool man. Do you understand? You must live with God every day. You must wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Father. What work does your son have for me to do? What will your spirit empower me to do today? This is not, okay, I get up in the morning and I, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then I read scripture. There are some that can do that. You can go to church every week. This is all about this. If you don't feel a little left out in reading this scripture, because I do, I feel this and it's like, he sent me, 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 he sent me. My Father says this, my Father says that, my Father says this. And I sometimes like, I wish God would speak to me like that. Well, he's the Lord, and he's going to hear the Father's voice a little clearer than we hear it. But there is absolutely, positively a theme here, and it is totally grounded and based in relationship. It's when said, I think it was Billy Graham, God has no grandchildren. Your kids are not getting to heaven based upon your merits. If you don't start, Austin and Elena, raising Arlen up now, in the fear of the Lord, in the admonition, in the recognition of something greater than yourselves, that what she obtains from God, you lose her. And you don't know pain like losing a child. Amen? You that have lost children? Verse 41, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Let me explain to what he's saying there. Some people want recognition from men. I have sat at this pulpit for the better part of the last 12 plus years now, saying to you the same thing. I am not perfect, I am not plastic, and I am not pathetic, and I will not be. Not for a church growth, not for being your friend, I will not do those things. I do not seek what men have to offer me. I do not make my living from this church. I do not look toward man for accolade. I could care less. I have to, because I spent my first 25 plus years looking toward men. Aren't I great? Aren't I great? Aren't I great? Oh, yes, you're great. Yes, you're great. Yes, you're great. At some point in time, if that doesn't end in your life, brothers and sisters, you wind up like these Pharisees, and everything was pretension, and you wind up like a lot of circles in church these days. Hey, all the pastors are getting together for a meeting. You want to hang out with them? No. Why not? We're going to talk about everything. Not interested. Why? Because I have my church, my people, my brothers and sisters. We do our life together. They're the only ones I want. Not interested. Oh, you should come out to our meeting in California. It's really, there's, Now, not saying that pastors' meetings are bad. They're not bad. They're just not for me. I'm not looking for it. I'm looking for God to tell me what's next for us. What we've done and what you guys have done, what you guys have done. In those convalescent homes is truly the work of God. What you guys have done with the kids, the youth, Base 1-5 and the youth group, that's the work of God. And if there's two kids or 22 kids, you know how pleased, as a pastor, as the senior pastor of a church, oh my goodness, you made a terrible mistake choosing me. I am blown away. I hear about stories about what you've done here or what you've done there. You guys that take a week out of your life to teach our children God's word, to lead them in worship, it's like, this is what pleases God. When you're not doing it because you're going to be seen of men, he says to them, if somebody comes in their name, them you'll believe. Now, let me explain to you what he's referring to. He's referring to the Antichrist. Because the Antichrist has in Scripture, Old and New Testament, over 40 names. And those names, that's who they come in. If you doubt the things that I'm saying, let me tell you what environment you are living in right now. You with me? Tune into this. The gloves are off. Anybody know what that means? The gloves are off. You've heard it. Anybody watch hockey? Guy gets checked, the guy gets tripped, the guy gets hit with a stick. They throw the gloves off. In case you guys didn't know what that means, that's what that means. The gloves are off. The gloves are off. They're going. It was told of us that homosexuals just wanted gay marriage. That's all they wanted. Can you just let them get married? Is that too much to ask? Well, nobody asked me, because I would have said I could care less if two men or two women get married. They just can't get married here. But if they want to go to justice of peace and live together, have at it. That's their business. It's not my business. But you can't get married in the church. How come? What are you, a homophobe? Whoa. How did I turn into a homophobe just because I won't marry people in the church? Well, do you believe in Black Lives Matter? Well, I believe that every single human being who has a beating heart, while they live, their lives matter. You must be a racist. Listen, I don't believe in white privilege because I've not been a part of white privilege. I've worked hard all my life. I've spent a couple years in prison. I'm waiting for my white privilege to kick in. You know, when I was homeless about 22 years ago, 25 years ago, I went to the hotel and told them I was white, and they still made me pay. You are a racist. And here's what you have in this country. No, let me reiterate that. Here's what you have in this world. The enemy has taken the gloves off. And you now, if you are anything, name it, if you're Hispanic, if you are Oriental, if you are Black, no matter what it is, you have your offense du jour. And if you don't believe in the next person's privilege, then you are a Black racist, a white racist. There is no more people. Now there's only persons. You must find yourself avoiding all people and become a person. I don't like when people speak of Black people, white people, homosexual people. I grew up in New York, and they used to have this thing in the 70s and 80s, which they still have now, called Gay Pride. You'd go and they'd have a Gay Pride parade. And the men used to dress in G-string leather thingies, and go around the street and spray painting themselves with like this thing. And I used to think to myself, that's gay. If that's gay, I'm against it. Now, where are the gay people who will look and go, that's not gay? That's not, we just want to live and let live. We just want our right. No, no, all LGBTQ people must unite, because if you want to dress up as a woman, even though you're a man, you now identify yourself with every single homosexual person. Listen, let me let you know a little secret, okay? I don't like all white people. Number one, I ain't white, okay? Got Italian blood, and we were never considered white when I was growing up. Right? So now that might sound weird to some of you, but that's how I grew up. My father's not a white guy. My father's Sicilian, God rest his soul. We were never considered white. The white people didn't want us around. But the environment that we now live in, the enemy has taken the gloves off. He is coming at you. I don't know about you guys, but yesterday I went up to the beach. I took my wife and kids to the boat show, and all I saw everywhere was happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays, happy holidays. It's nice to say happy holidays, but why are you not saying Merry Christmas? It's Christmas! Well, we don't want to offend anybody. I know nobody offended by saying Merry Christmas. Matter of fact, I do business with these people in Egypt, and they're Muslims. They're Muslims. And you know what they send me in their emails? Merry Christmas, Mr. Ryan. I sounded more African there, right? I watched too many Eddie Murphy movies growing up. Way too many. Yes, yes. The gloves are off. And if you're looking for accolades from people, and if you don't know, listen, I haven't got to it yet. There's one thing that I'm going to show you. And this is the key to this whole thing. Get away from all those persons and become a people. Become a lover of God. And don't matter what privilege, color, it don't matter. It can't. The Lord Jesus, he's coming back soon, man. This world is going to hell. It's not, you know, when I was growing up, it used to be a hush-hush thing. Shh, 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 don't talk about this. Now, it's not talk about it. If you don't agree, you're a homophobe, a xenophobe, a racist, a bigot, you name it. If you don't agree, this has become a world of thought police. Our media, which has freedoms in our country given by the First Amendment, is nothing more nowadays than a propaganda arm for one of the political parties. And they don't care. They don't even hide it anymore. They're not even ashamed of it anymore. Do you understand what day and time you live in? And I'll tell you what it is, it's a great time to be a Christian. People are charging the gates of hell, and you've been entrusted with the ability, with the keys to the kingdom, to pull them out. Leave a little bit, you think you know the message today, but you don't know the message yet. The message hasn't come full. Everything right now is still introduction. Continue. Verse 41 again. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not receive me. I'm sorry, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive, speaking of the Antichrist, and they do. If you read the book of Revelation, when the enemy comes, when this big world leader comes, and everybody talks about how great he is, see? He must be great. Why? Because everybody says he's great. That doesn't make somebody great because everybody says they're great. Nah, he's great. Why? Well, look how many views he has on YouTube. He must be great. I've said this 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. Katy Perry has 100 million followers. 100 million followers on Twitter. 100 million. I heard one of her songs the other day, and quite frankly, I was unimpressed. I was in the store, I was like, oh, that's Katy Perry. That's Katy Perry? I expected her to be like 100 million people listen to that. I really expected more. You know, I was like, I was unimpressed. Verse 45. Do not, we're at 44. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from only God? Now, I remind you, if you have one of those Bibles, this is in red. This is the words of our Lord Jesus. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to your father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Please let me explain to what he's saying. First and foremost, Bible geeks, let me tell you what he's doing. He's cutting through about 5,000 years of lies and saying, oh no, make no mistake, Moses wrote the Torah. Because you have all these colleges and all these higher educations telling you, well, Moses didn't write, he wrote the book of Genesis, but he didn't write the book of Exodus. And they have all these names for all these pseudo names. Listen, the Lord Jesus tells us Moses wrote the Torah, period. That's it. It ends the argument. Otherwise, everybody else that says otherwise is calling the Lord a liar. Do you understand that? Why is that important? Because if you can't believe the words of the Lord, then you can't believe anything. And that's why he said this. He said just before, he said, if I tell you about myself, you will say, I don't believe you because you're telling me about yourself. That's how come whenever you quote scripture to somebody who doesn't believe scripture, they don't believe it, because you're using the verification of the very thing you're trying to push on them as the reason why they should believe it. That's why they don't believe it. You can't tell me about the Bible by using the Bible, they say. You know why? Because they don't have the love of the Father in them. They don't have the love of the Father in them. I don't care what religion, nationality. Without the love of the Father, you don't have life. It's very simple. That is a very... Okay. Now the message for today. You ready? Bear with me. I'm going to read you a few things. John 3:28. This is all from the book of John. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. John 3:34. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. John 4:34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 4:38. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labors, and you have entered into their labors. John 5:23. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. John 5:24. Most assuredly, I say to you that he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has everlasting life. And he shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. John 5:30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. 33. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Verse 5:36 of the book of John. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. John 5:37, the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. Verse 5:38, but you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. I'm going to read to you every single one of these things. And this is only from the book of John. And I'm going to show you why the obsession that the Lord has. And then I'm going to explain to you how you possess it, how you apply it to your life. This is hugely important. Because if you think that I'm making something that is not there, because a lot of times you have to form this and, well, maybe we can pull this, let's add this up. I am not. I am not. Listen continually. John 6 and 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John 6 and 39. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. John 6 and 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. John 6 and 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6 and 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. John 7 and 16, Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. John 7 and 18, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. John 7 and 28, then Jesus cried out as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me and know where I am from, and have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. John 7 and 29, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. John 7 and 33, then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, then I go to him who sent me. Verse 8 and 16 of John, and yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone. I am with the Father who sent me. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. That was John 8 and 18. John 8 and 26. I have many things to say to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. John 8 and 29. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. John 8 and 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. John 9, 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. John 10 and 36, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God? John 11 and 42, and I know that you always hear me, but because the people who are standing by said this, that they may believe that you sent me. John 12 and 44, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. He who sees me sees him who sent me. John 12 and 45. John 12 and 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me command that I should say and what I should speak. John 13, 16. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. There's two of them there. John 13 and 20, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and who receives me receives him who sent me. One more page. John 14, and this is just the book of John. John 14 and 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. John 15 and 21, but all things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. John 16 and 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? John 17 and 3. This is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. John 17 and 8. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and they have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Now, in case you're wondering, John 17 is the Lord Jesus' longest prayer in the entire Bible. He's now speaking to God. He is speaking to his Father the same manner. You sent me. I was sent. John 17, 18. As you sent me into this world, I also sent them into the world. John 17 and 21, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. John 17 and 23, I in them and you in me, that we may be made perfect in one and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you love me. John 17 and 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And then one of the last things that the Lord Jesus said to his apostles, to his disciples on the earth, so Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. You counting? That was about 55 times. I would say that's a very unhealthy obsession with one word. If I do not know my Lord. So, now, you've been through that. What's the application? Here's the application. Men and women, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are your admiral, your general, and your sergeant. You have not come to do your thing. You've come to do his thing. And when you get serious, as the Lord was serious, you will just do what you've been sent to do. And what you've been sent to do is pull people out of the fire of hell. That's what you're sent for. You're not sent here to make money. You're not sent here to buy a new car. You're not sent here to build a new house. You're not sent here to have a relationship. You're not sent for any of those things. Now, when those things occur, it's just gravy, man. Just a ladle of gravy. And just thanks, God. Thank you, God. But while I'm closing, I'm going to pray for the closing lawyer. While I'm selling the house, I'm going to pray for the person I'm selling or buying the house from. I have not come to do my will, but him who sent me. Because I spent the first 25 years of my life doing my will. And let me tell you how it goes. In case you haven't been there yet. You young folks, listen up. Listen up. Because the first couple of times you go out drinking and partying, it's freaking fun as all get out. Man, I got so smashed. It was great, man. It was great. That lasts about 2 years. And then, oh my goodness, I was so sick and I got such a hangover. It's horrible. You gonna stop drinking? Not yet. And then about year 5 or 6, you now start to look like whatever it is that you've been drinking or shooting or snorting. You ever see cokeheads? It's so funny. They're all white and pasty like Coke. You ever see alcoholics? They're like the color of beer. It's weird. They're like all yellow and gray. And then all of a sudden, you can't stop. And I'll tell you when you know you're hooked. When you say this very famous line, I can stop anytime I want. I just don't want to. As soon as you say that, you're screwed. And that's what the world has done. It wants you to come and do your own thing. But the Bible says this. Do not be filled with wine. Do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Do not be stoned with herb, which leads to complacency. I added that myself. That's kind of my verses. Do not be high on coke, which leads to hyperactivity. Do not be messed up on flaca, which makes you a friggin' zombie. Do not be fill in the blank of your particular drug. Do not be messed up on pornography, which makes you a pervert. Do not be, so what should I do? I can't do nothing fun. Yeah, you can do something fun. Be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. You want fun? Let me tell you what fun is. When you pull somebody out of the gates of hell. I had the blessing a couple of weeks ago of doing an altar call. I did an altar call here. And some of you guys stood up and said, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I go home and I go, oh God, you just let me be a part of somebody's salvation. Something came from my mouth. This filthy pie hole of mine. Something came out of it that, well, I know what came out of it. It was the Word of God. So I need to stop talking so much my word and start talking more His word. His word bears fruit. You know what my word does? Makes a mess. A big vomiting mess. Because I've not come to do my will, but the will of Him who sent me. And if you can wrap your head around this. Now listen, I know this is tough for a lot of you guys because I remember being just a couple years old in the Lord and thinking to myself, well, what did I sign up for here? And hearing this thing and being at that crossroad and going, listen, I like being a Christian, man. And I dig this whole forgiveness and worship thing. I like the worship makes me feel, I like being forgiven for my sins. But this whole, like giving your whole life up for the, I mean, I have to start going to church like every time the doors are, have to? You don't have to, you get to. You get to have orders from God. I remember the first time Pastor Bob said, tomorrow morning when you're taking a shower, I want you to look at the water and let it fall down on you and make believe it's the Holy Spirit pouring out on you and say to God, what do you have for me to do today? And I did the next day. And I was in the shower and I looked down and the water swung and I closed and I said, God, what do you want me to do today? The one thing I lacked more than anything else when I finally came of age, 21, 22, 23 years old, purpose. I had zero purpose in my life. Every purpose that I thought I had fell flat on my face. You can just, there's kids here, but you can just have so many relationships where all of a sudden it's like, what a waste of time this is. How empty and alone I feel after every single one. You could just get drunk so many times and say stupid things and all of a sudden you look back now, let me tell you what you look back. There he is, 20 years old and the kids I was hanging out with, 15 and 16, he's like, man, I'm just like the old clown, aren't I? I'm just a clown. You guys do that, hanging out? Growing up, you're hanging out and you're with your friends and your friend's 15, 16, 17, and there's the guy that's 25, 26 and he's hanging out, drinking beer, you got, hey man, I wanna hang out. There's a guy that just hasn't, does anybody know what I'm doing? Anybody seen that phenomenon? You do know. And I remember those guys in my neighborhood and it's like, dude, you're 27 years old and you're hanging out with 15 year olds. You're a loser. And I didn't even have the brain say, you're on your way. Don't worry, just stay right where you are. You'll be right where he is just a few years. I remember sitting there at that line and going, okay, God, do I now? I got to tell you, some years ago, John and Linda Yancey, they came to me and said, we had an idea for a ministry. Okay, yeah. Well, let's get together. Let's go out. We want to go out to eat and we want to share it with you. Okay. And they said to me, we're going to do it in about a month or two. And I'm like, you have an idea or not? We want to keep praying about it. Praying about it? You mean you pray outside of church? We want to keep marinating this thing. We want to get all the details. Now, as a pastor, I was blessed and anxious. Come on, come on, come on. And then when they told us about it, we're not going to start for another 6 months, like, oh, come on, it's a great idea. You mean you live with this thing? It's a part of your life? You mean if I go to your house is going to, you're going to act the same way you act here? I remember being at that place where am I going to really make God my general? I mean,
Aye, sir. Good morning. Yeah. Yeah, what a day. That's called making him Lord. In case you're looking for scripture on that, there's a difference between making him the Savior and making him the Lord of your life. You can drag Christ through the hell of your life like I did. I got saved, I was about, I want to say 19 or 20 years old. And for 5+ years, I drug the Lord Jesus through the hell of my life. I moved down to Florida in 1988, and until 1994 it was, I made him Lord. But the foul filthiness, the misery, the gnashing of my teeth, why doesn't it feel good anymore? I had such a good time growing up. Never did no drugs. I wasn't a druggie. But man, when we drank, we all just had a good time. We sit around singing The Doors. Man, we had the schoolyard, you know, staying on ice. It was like 12 degrees out. And we sit there and we'd have these jackets that had the big, what was it called again? Huh? No. The ones you zip them up and they go all the way up to like here. There's just a furry thing at the middle. Is that called a Parker? No, it wasn't a Parker. Parka? I thought you'd just be in New York. Paca. It's a paca. We thought those were the greatest times in the world. And then all of a sudden, this guy died of drug overdose, and that guy's liver went bad. And it's like, what's going on here? Although we're having a good time. And that girl got pregnant at 15, and this one. You know what? You can do what you're supposed to do because that's what all Puerto Ricans do. You can do what you're supposed to do because that's what all Jamaicans do. You can do what you're supposed to do because that's what all Taiwanese do. You can do what you're supposed to do because that's what white, black, you put in the thing. You can do that. You could even think that all Muslims are radical and are going to blow you up. You could think that. But know this. You can also do the will of him who sent you and live the most amazing life you ever imagined. At every place you go and everything you do, you know is ordained by God. His steps have placed you there to share and to shine his light. Did a couple of belt ceremonies the other day. Belt ceremony is a big thing in jiu-jitsu because they don't happen often. It's not like karate where they give out belt. You don't get belted in jiu-jitsu. We had this one in Fort Lauderdale, and I was at it, and all the black belts were on the wall, and they introduced all the black belts and what accolades they have, and he introduced me as this, Pastor Ryan. It's Pastor Ryan. And I thought to myself, I never told these guys I was a pastor. How'd they find out? And for just a second, I was like, I want to say this honestly. I was just proud of myself for a second. I was like, you kept your witness. Good job. Because most of the time I blow my witness. And don't tell anybody I'm a pastor. Why? Because I'm going to do something stupid any minute, and I don't want them to make God look bad with my dumb mouth. Or guys, if it was good enough for the Lord Jesus, it's good enough for us. He did not come to do his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. I'm asking you, if you want to get serious about this thing tomorrow, or for you younger folks, Tuesday when you take a shower, Wednesday if you're a Yancey boy. Look up at the water and let it wash down upon you and say, God, what do you have for me to do today? Baptize me in your plan for my life. And let wherever he sends you be the people that he sent to you. and watch what goes on. Watch the power of God start to transform everything. Now, if you're like me and you've already set so many things up in your life, it's just inviting him into all those areas, and you'll find out he's already been there. He's already there. He's already set up your everything that's in your life. He's already set up so that he can do something amazing with it. Whether you're in junior high school, college, the world has taken the gloves off and they hate your guts. And they ain't joking about it anymore. They ain't hiding it anymore. They hate you. They hate your Christianity. Happy holidays, because we don't even want to mention the name Christ. And now you get to be a mercenary for God. One by one, you're going to kill their death. Look at it like that, guys. You've been sent to kill death. And you have a gun filled with the power of the Holy Spirit right in your heart. And you could literally kill their death. You could put life into them. A little wound up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that your witness is true. And the witness that you made, that fourfold witness of yourself, it's true. The things that you said about yourself, they're true. The things that John the Baptist said about you, they're true. The things that the Father sent you to do, the works that you did, bear witness that you are truth. And the thing that John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, is true. God, we take the last thing that you said to your apostles, we take it to heart. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. God, I want to go where you want me to go, do what you want me to do, say what you want me to say, act how you want me to act, eat what you want me to eat, drink what you want me to drink. God, there is nothing I don't want filtered through you, baptized by you. There's nothing that I don't want you to have a part of my life. And I beg of you to forgive me for any time I've taken the reins of my own life. For every time. Guys, make this prayer yours, man. Make it yours. I'm confessing to you, God, but I want you to hear, guys, this is the cry of your heart. God, my relationship, send me into it. My job, send me into it. My health, send me into it. My finances, send me into it. God, whatever it is, the restaurants that I go into, may they be your appointments. Fast food, the gas stations, the school, wherever I go, send me. Here I am, send me. God, give my life purpose again. Give our lives purpose, God, that we might say and hear those amazing words on the day that we breathe our last and we're face to face, say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will now make you ruler over many. Enter into your Father's rest. Thank you, Father, for this option, this opportunity. May we take it for real from now on. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.